All right, welcome back to another edition of This Week in College Football, brought to you by CFB Talk Daily. Today is Thursday, November 28th.
It is Thanksgiving.
Also Thanksgiving. So from us to you guys, happy Thanksgiving to you and your families. We're going to maybe make
this. Or just to you.
Yeah, or just to you.
If you're like talking about football, Aaron Rodgers hates his family. Don't know if you knew that.
Yeah, so I bet Aaron Rodgers is going to call his parents and say happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
All right. You know, so if you don't want to tell your parents happy Thanksgiving, you don't have to. It's America. You can do whatever you want. So back to football.
Football.
Yeah. All right. So we're going to try and cover some things this week. Last week really wasn't too crazy of a week, so there's not much to talk about on last week's game, but we will get to one game in particular, and I'm sure if you've been following us since day one, you'll know which game it is. But first, I'm going to preface this with, between Saturday and Sunday, in the 24 hours, me and John both experienced bad things happen to us, and we'll go from what happened last first. So on Sunday, a report came out that Greg Schiano had withdrawn his name from the Rutgers head coach candidacy. John was thrilled. Obviously, I was a Schiano guy, so that did not make me happy to see. But now that also leads me to believe that they are going to go in the direction they went last time and maybe go after a coordinator, whether it's a defensive coordinator, offensive coordinator, someone who hasn't been a head coach. And then it makes me wonder if they're really ready to actually commit to really being a good program. I'll let you give your first thoughts.
I'm thrilled.
Thoughts outside of the Schiano, just the Rutgers thought process, because I know you have some
thoughts.
Okay, so
my thoughts here. I think that by the end of this coaching search, not the end of it, by the Schiano, I pretty much came to terms with him being hired, and I think you could vouch for me that I wasn't fully against it towards the end. I was starting to see like the silver lining in it, that like it's not worst things could happen, you know, like we could hire another Chris Ash. But after seeing his demands, they were a little out there, some of them, and I think that. You want to talk about the outlash? Like people were. Is that
We'll go in order. So we'll start with the demands.
The demands, like the private jet use, like, have you really earned that? You know, we're not Texas. We don't have the money to throw away. Plus, I did see in Keith Sargent's article, he wanted, I think, $32 million guaranteed. He said
25.4, I believe it was. But that.
That's a lot of money to guarantee a coach.
I'll talk about that in a second, though.
But that's a lot to guarantee a guy.
So I do agree with that. With that is a lot of money to guarantee a guy. I actually agree with both points you made. Because even especially, when I saw, like,
hold on, my bad. I don't want to interrupt. But I just want to finish making. Especially that, you know, Schiano. Yeah, he's a Rutgers guy. Made them relevant, but he was never like, you know, like winning his conference or like, you know what I mean. Like he wasn't as much as you're gonna hate that I'm saying this. He wasn't anything that special outside of Rutgers. Like to everyone else, he's not that special.
So, I will agree with you. His requests were a little wild. The only one that I can kind of understand and I agree with was the travel for his family to games and the relocation of his family. Because I believe that is a pretty standard thing. For coaches, that they're when they move to a new place, the school pays for their housing. Rutgers did it previously with Schiano. That is typically a standard with the Power Five teams. But like you said, which I do agree with you, I don't think they've really. One, I don't think they have the funds to afford that right now. But also, it was never made clear on if the jet was going to be funded by the school or on a private. So like a booster would like group of boosters would pay for it, but. Mm-hmm. Still, regardless, that's still pretty crazy. The golf membership, I don't understand, even though Chris Ash had the same clause.
Yeah, but okay, so I want to talk about that because originally I thought that was weird, and then I saw that. And
we
I was
both
like,
thought it was weird.
Yeah, I was like, okay, like that's just kind of like he wants to pay for your grocery shopping too. Like
when that first came out, me and John were talking about it, and we were like, dude, these are like the weirdest things we ever heard. And then between like us like talking and doing research and talking to people who know more about coaches' contract structures, it seems as if like something like that is a regular thing. Like Apparently Chris Ash had a membership paid for the same golf club, and apparently Shiano had it last time. So that's like one, probably one of those weird things that are in coaches' contracts that we just don't know about.
Yeah, they just love to go golfing.
But the one thing that you said about the guaranteed money, the 25-4, which I will say that figure is a lot of money. But in the contract it was written, so he wanted the 8-year contract, and that 25-4 was only going to be guaranteed to him if they had fired him before the 4th year of his contract began. And I know we do see it now with a lot of people, a lot of schools firing coaches quick. We just saw it at Arkansas. Willie Taggart was fired not even 2 complete seasons after his hire. But I think with a guy like Shiano at Rutgers, a place where he had success, I think Rutgers would have given him a little more benefit of the doubt, especially with the state of the program right now. So I don't think they would have had to pay him out that 25-4. I don't think they would have fired him before that point in the contract.
I kind of disagree with that. I think he probably would have been fired before then. I'm against this, you know, like, I don't think this is a good idea, but my thing with the Shiano thing is that I just feel like we're going back to complacency, I feel like, and I get we're below complacency right now. We're bad. Like, you know, we're really bad. I just don't see Shiano as the guy who's going to bring us back. I was a little impressed that they said you brought a 200-page binder back to like the meeting. I don't know if you saw that.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. And that's
like targets. That's impressive. That's dedication. But I feel like a lot of guys do that. You know, like most people have a plan when they come into a program. It's not just like, I mean, unless you're like Willie Taggart and you're like, oh, gee. All right. So now I just want to talk about real quick the aftermath and then we'll move on. Or we can talk about quick like candidates again, like a few that have came up recently.
Well, I've tweeted about that. People we have interacted. So if you haven't seen the candidates, just go back on our Twitter. We have tweeted about it. But yeah, the backlash has been, I guess I didn't expect it to be this bad. From the moment they announced that he was not in the candidacy anymore, which I want to make one last point real quick. I just remembered before we talk about this. I don't know if you saw this in the article. After he came back with his second counteroffer, Hobbs never reached back out.
But did you see that Hobbs didn't say no? He removed himself from the search?
Yeah, but he hadn't reached back out to him with any kind of comment about the counteroffer in like 6 days or however long the second one was. So, I mean, if I'm Pat Hobbs, like, you should at least, you know, look at the offer and say, all right, I like this. I don't like this. Can we work on that? You know, if I'm someone who's applying for a job, and I know I'm the only person there, and we've been in talks after the first counteroffer. After the first offer, we made a counteroffer. They came back. And then I make a second one, and I don't hear anything for 6 days. I'm not going to waste my time anymore there. You know, that's like disrespectful.
That's a good point. But, like, maybe they just don't think you're worth what you're asking for, and which okay. I think that's okay. Like, that's people were saying people were saying fire Hobbs. Like, for what? He's an athletic director. If he doesn't like the candidate, like, you're going to fire him because he didn't, like – I get Rutgers loves Greg Schiano. I really do. But he's not like – this is like the backlash I would expect if like Bill Belichick interviewed for the job and like he asked for like another $1 million and Rutgers was like, nah, Bill, like, can't do it. Then I'd expect this backlash, you know, like
– yeah.
Or like to say somehow Urban interviewed for the job and Rutgers had Urban Meyer interviewing for the head coaching job and they couldn't come to agreements – I'd expect this kind of backlash.
A can't miss turn around the program in 1 year kind of guy.
Yeah, because I mean, Urban Meyer, like that's what he would be. He's not. He'd never do it. But I'm just saying, like, you get the point I'm making, right?
Urban Meyer's in the small class of coaches that I consider overnight program changers.
Yeah, James Franklin, not one of them. We'll see at Florida State.
I don't think he's actually going to Florida State. I don't know if anyone.
Me either.
He's
just kind of get a raise.
That's just leverage. Yeah. The last point I wanted to make about Hobbs, real quick, was. Or just about this, all like the whole coach and the search. I don't think that Hobbs wanted Shiano to begin with. I'm not sure if you saw that in the article. When he submitted his original list to the search firm, Shiano was not on his list. So that leads me to believe that he was kind of looking for any reason to not hire Shiano. Which, you know what, if that's his gut and that's what he feels, that's fine. You know, but I would at least hope that he did his due diligence while interviewing Shiano.
Can't blame him.
So now we're going to talk about the backlash. Within the last 4 days or since Sunday, Eric LeGrand has spoken out against Pat Hobbs. Mike Teal has, there have been a few more players who are more recent that have spoken out. A lot of donors have said that they are no longer donating to the program. Season ticket holders are canceling their subscriptions. People who were going to buy season tickets are now withdrawing. Myself included.
Okay, but hear me out. You're saying yourself included, but say Rutgers hires a candidate you like. Would you buy tickets again?
Yes.
Like is it Greg Schiano or a bust for you? Because I feel like that's a narrow-minded way of thinking.
No.
Like, see, there's other guys. Like, sure, like, let's just touch on some candidates while we do this. Adazio, don't know if that gets me to buy me tickets. Maybe, though. Maybe.
That gets me to go into games again.
Yeah, I wouldn't be, like, punching the air if we hired him. Like, I wouldn't be thrilled, but, like, I wouldn't be, like, you know, like, standing outside the rack with a fire Pat Hobbs sign.
Of the list of candidates, so John just mentioned one with Steve Adazio, and then there was Jed Fish, who is the offensive coordinator analysis for the Rams. And then the other one is Anthony Campanelli. I think he's a linebacker coach in Michigan. I know he's on the defensive side of the ball.
Fun fact, he
is related to Rutgers head coach, or interim head coach, Nunzio.
Somehow, Matt did not think they were brothers, and we just took a 10-minute break to research they were brothers or not.
That is true. I was convinced they weren't actually brothers, and they just had the same last name. Because from this area, that's a pretty common last name, to be fair. Yeah.
I would give you that it is. So, actually, almost any Italian last name is common in New Jersey.
Yeah.
We are the Sopranos.
But so as those three come up, I would say the only one that I would – oh, and the other – what's his name?
Jed Fish and Jeff Haley?
Yeah, Jeff Haley.
Fish is – did you mention him?
I did mention Fish, yeah.
All right. I didn't know if you did. All right, cool. So let's go through those three real quick. Adazio, like I said, doesn't really tickle my jimmies like that. I'd probably watch the games, though. I'm not going to lie. I'd get back to watching most Rutgers games because at least the first game. An Adazio hire would get me hooked at least game like one of conference play. I'd want to see, is there improvement? Fish, I think he's my number one, I guess, out of now. But I wouldn't say Halfway is too far away because of his recruiting efforts. And, you know, I'm a big guy in recruiting. And he's ranked number three in the, the number three recruiter in the country right now.
And a lot of people who are close to Halfway say that he is very, I know you're going to hate me when I say, very Greg Schiano-like because he was under Schiano.
I don't hate Greg Schiano. you think I hate him?
No, I know. Just, you hated him to be hired now. You don't hate Schiano, you hate the hire. So if they did hire a coach I like, Fish and Halfley, those are my two guys right now that I like.
I agree.
If they hire them, I'm not sure if I would buy season tickets as quick as I would have, truthfully, with Schiano. Honestly, I bought into all the Schiano hype.
But that's okay, though. In my head, that's rational thinking. You wanted Schiano, it's okay to be disappointed about it. But, but one of our followers, calling the governor to complain about Rutgers not hiring Greg Schiano, open a pack of beers or something like that and just get over
it. First of all, they never even went to the governor. They never got that far.
So the governor's office is no, we don't like it.
Okay, so I think we spent about 15 minutes already talking about Rutgers.
Well, let's spend 15 more.
No, there's nothing else to talk about.
All right, so let's talk about two other coaching jobs real quick.
Well, hold on. Before we get into the coaching jobs, I mentioned that both of our hearts were broken, so we're going to talk about your heartbreak on Saturday.
Okay, so tough look for this. I said at halftime, Oregon was losing. I had to be at work at 6 the next day. Went to sleep at halftime, wholeheartedly knowing Oregon was not winning that game. Jaden Daniels, cold-blooded. I texted Matt Thompson. I texted him. And I said that, can Jaden Daniels please miss a throw? I feel like he's put the ball on the money every single throw tonight at halftime. And I fell asleep shortly after. Oregon almost made a comeback. I believe they lost by two. Right? Lost by two?
I saw they got it into a one-possession game twice, I believe, in the fourth quarter.
Yeah. Couldn't pull it off. I did like the one quote that they lost by three, so not two. Field goal. Which, that is what it is. Sucks. Not going to make the playoffs. Still probably going to win the Pac-12. So I'm not overly bummed about it because we probably would have got left out of the playoffs anyway. Now it's just certain that so my heart's broken a few weeks earlier than it would have been. That's how I rationalize this.
Yeah, that kind of eliminate. I think Oregon will beat Utah in the Pac championship game, and that will eliminate the Pac.
Although I have a sneaky suspicion Justin Herbert's not gonna play in that game.
Oh, out of draft stock.
Oh, actually, no. That's a championship game, not a bowl game. He'll play.
Yeah, I would imagine he'd play in that. And they would play,
especially being a Eugene kid, he probably wants a Pac-12 championship.
They play in the Rose Bowl, which is still one of the best bowl games to play in. So that's a good fallback option.
Yeah. So just the other quick thing I had to say about Oregon was I saw a quote from Mario Cristobal. Really liked it, so I'm going to read it to you. And it was about the plane ride home. He said, "The plane ride was real quiet on the way home. Not a lot of guys talking, which lets me know I have the right group of guys."
Yeah. So,
I really liked waking up to that after a loss.
So I'm thinking that's pretty much all you have to say about Oregon. I agree with everything you said that eliminates them. They did make it tight in the end, but at the end of the day, two losses doesn't get you into the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to talk about some coaching vacancies.
You know, unless you play in the SEC, but that's for a different day.
And so let's talk about some coaching vacancies. We got Bob Davey was fired at New Mexico.
All right, let's go one by one.
Okay, yeah, sure.
Not to interrupt the flow, but all right. So Davey, I felt like this was coming, to be honest. He's been real sick. I don't know if you knew that. He took a leave earlier in the year. I believe he had heart problems.
Okay.
So I kind of saw that one coming. Well, I don't know if I saw it coming, but it's not the worst thing. They're mutually parting ways, so he didn't get fired.
It's just,
I mean, it's kind of fired.
Yeah.
You've kind of been done chained, like they're telling you to dip.
Yeah, and it's like New Mexico's not really a hotbed for recruiting anyways.
No, but I feel like New Mexico could be like New Mexico State, that is. They could be like, all right, I feel like, but I guess maybe not.
Well, they don't play on any of the Power Five. So
they don't play nobody.
They could be in, you know, they could be in that Group of Five discussion.
Yeah, there was one thing I wanted to say about this. I forgot what it was.
Uh-oh.
No, it was just a stat that I wanted to add to, just to talk about. He was 35 and 63 as a head coach for New Mexico State, including 2-9 with Utah State as the last game, so probably going to be 2-10. So it's not like they're losing a good coach anyway. Like,
so
35 and 63, not really good.
Stats are pretty much my thing.
There was also a thing last year where he had a scandal, so like at this point you might as well just part ways.
He was already going to do it. The scandal, and then you have the health problems, you know, just go get a new coach.
And you're also not winning games. But yeah, that's probably the most that we know about New Mexico State. I know there's going to be one New Mexico State fan that's going to tweet at us and be like, "No, I love Bobby," and I'm gonna be like, "Oh, all right,
Bobby, best coach you've had in the last 10 years."
Yeah, you're like, "Oh, that sucks for you.
That sucks, your best coach."
And we think our life is hard as Rutgers fans.
So the other coaching vacancy that just popped up was Tony Sanchez at UNLV, and this was an interesting hire from the beginning because I'm not sure if you knew this, but
I know where you're going.
He was hired directly from Bishop Gorman. And his, I guess, 5 years at Bishop Gorman, he was 120-26. That's a good record. And that's not like his college record of 19-40. So that's another one of those. Like, I think Notre Dame had one of these probably about 30 years ago where they hired a high school coach from the area who they thought was going to turn them around. Well, back then, I guess they needed to be turned around. I wasn't alive, so... But so we see high school coaches going into coach college football, probably not a good idea.
Yeah. Also, for those of you who don't know, just a real quick, I want to fill this in. Bishop Gorman, like one of the top high schools in the country for football. Like they get insane athletes. So it's not even like he took like a public school, like where he had to develop guys. He was just recruiting like the best players in Nevada, and like I think they recruit from California as well. So like they were just recruiting the best players in the area, and you know what I mean? Like, yeah. Have you ever seen Bishop Gorman Stadium?
Yeah, it's a legit stadium.
Yeah, they have facilities. Right? Yeah, that's where Tate went. That was his quarterback. He actually, I believe that was his quarterback. I don't know.
No, he never.
Okay, well, he went in 2009 to 2014 as the head coach, 85-5.
Yeah, but damn, that gives you the idea.
Five games in 5 years.
It gives you the idea of what kind of talent he had around him when you talk about guys like Tate Martell. And when you talk about private schools, like that's kind of like a situation that happened about 10 years ago or whenever. Greg Toll, who was also the head coach at a powerhouse in New Jersey, Bergen Catholic, when he was relieved of his duty on mutual agreements, a lot of people thought that he would go right into college as a head coach because of the success he had in New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think a lot of people realize it's a completely different monster. Like,
yeah, you got so much more you got to deal with, like recruiting.
Yeah.
Like
you can have, like, when you're a Bishop Gorman, you probably have the nicest facilities by far.
Yeah, like, I mean, competing with us. Within 5 hours. I was going to say, nationally, you're competing with, like, two schools, maybe. Like, IMG Academy and you know, maybe some of the private schools in New Jersey. Because I know Don Bosco has crazy facilities, sleepaway school. But other than that, there's probably not many.
Yeah, so, but then once you get to the college level, everyone has nice facilities for the most part.
Yeah. All right. Before you go on, I had one more thing to say about this. Just 1 second. I know we don't want to spend too much time on this, but I just wanted to say that, you know, there is another high school to college coach is working out pretty well right now in Nunzio Campanelli, Rutgers head coach.
He at least had time in college.
Yeah, no, fair enough.
He at least had time in college.
Full circle. Now we can move on from coaching.
All right, so we're going to talk about the rankings real quick because nothing really happened. Yeah, we're just real. I told you we're going to do it real quick. The only thing we have to talk about the rankings is the jump from Ohio State jumping over LSU. I don't agree with it. I think it's stupid. I think eye test Ohio State is at least the top two team in the country. They probably are going to get they would get my vote to be the best team in the country by the eye test. But when you look at what LSU has done and who they've beaten, I don't think you can really make an argument that they're not the best team in the country.
All right, so maybe we should talk about this.
All right, talk about it. Because
I disagree.
Let's talk about it.
Take Ohio State's the best team in the country.
I test it by resume.
By eye test, by far. I mean, I'm a football guy. I mean, not saying you're not, like, because, I mean, you watch a ton of football. At this point, like I said, I consider us both, like, you know, we are football guys, watch a ton of football, way more than the average fan does. Like, we have a deeper understanding, I feel like. I just feel like Ryan Day is an offensive genius. Ed Orgeron, defensive genius. And they have Joe Brady coaching their offense. Ohio State has, I think it's halfway who coaches their defense. They're both great, but Ohio State has Larry Johnson on the D-line, who you can argue is just as good of a D-line coach as Ed Orgeron. You know, he's been at the school for a very long time. I feel like the Ohio State defense has turned around really well, and their offense is just unstoppable. LSU's offense unstoppable too, but their defense looks a little shaky at times. Like they gave up, I think, was it 30-something points to Ole Miss the other day? Like a few weeks ago?
37.
So, yeah, I don't think LSU's defense – if they had the LSU defense of any other year, by far best team in the country. This year, their defense scares me a little bit. Like it doesn't scare me as much, I mean. Like, it scares me as in, like, I wouldn't want to put – look, Vanderbilt put up 38 on them. Texas put up 38 on them. Florida put up 28. Auburn almost – they only lost by 3. Bama put up 41, which Bama, that doesn't really count. I get it. Ole Miss put up 37. Arkansas, an awful team, scored 20. Like, you know, there's just some – I feel like Ohio State might be the best team in the country, but they're the more complete team than LSU.
Oh, I agree with you 100%. I said that. I think I test Ohio State best team in the country. Mm-hmm. I just think that by, like, resume, some of the teams that LSU has beaten, I think would beat the teams that Ohio State would be has beaten. Like, I think that – I think Florida would beat Cincinnati. They're both ranked teams. Like the ranked teams that Ohio State has beaten, I think most of them would lose to the ranked teams that LSU was beat. So I think LSU was played a little bit of a tougher schedule.
No, you have a good point.
I mean, because they both played the same amount of ranked opponents.
Yeah, well, hopefully they play each other, and that'll settle this.
Oh, yeah, that'd be ideal. And, I mean, the SEC is going to play itself out on the 7th, which is a championship game, and, you know, as will the Big Ten. But that was the only really noticeable move that really is mentioning. So, as I just mentioned, both the SEC and the Big Ten, real quick, we're going to talk about biggest games of the weekend. Let's face it, there's no other game this weekend that really matters besides these two, truthfully. I know there's games that have meaning to it, like Virginia, Virginia Tech. That's for the ACC Coastal. I think the Coastal. I've mixed up the divisions. Whatever division that those teams are in, that's for that division, whoever's going to go play Clemson. And then, so you have Auburn, Alabama. Alabama wins this game. There's still at least a fighter's chance of getting in with some things happening in front of them. And then there's the Ohio State-Michigan game. So I'll let you talk about Ohio State-Michigan because I think we both predicted this game right last year.
Okay, well, first thing, I don't mean to be a lag here. I want to check the spread real quick.
That's what so I was going to do anyways.
In case, oh, I was going to say, in case you can go first, or I'll just check real quick. It'll probably pop up fairly quickly. Got some Thursday night Thanksgiving football between Ole Miss and Miss State. Not going to watch that game.
Yeah, I'm not going to watch that one either. So
you know, one thing I really do hate, hold on. I got something to say now, and I'm going to say it. For okay, those so... people who think the game should be played at noon, you're an idiot. Why do people obsess with that game being a noon game? I don't. It's probably the best game of the year every year. Why are people obsessed with not making it a primetime game? I don't understand.
With not making it a primetime game?
Yeah, it's never a primetime game. It's never played at night.
I think we're talking about two different games because the game that I know is Harvard Yale.
Stop. Stop. Just stop. Okay, so the spread is, I believe.
9.
Yeah, I was just going to say. I was opening it. I went on my ramble. Hammer Ohio State.
Yeah, even though they're going into the Big House, I don't think Michigan. I think Michigan is worse this year than they were last year, and I thought last year they had a chance.
All right, I would like to just make it. I just placed a bet for Ohio State with an alternate line.
Nice.
I'm not going to say the line.
Actually, Wisconsin-Minnesota is a pretty good game, too, because the winner of that game is going to play Ohio State and could ruin the Big Ten if somehow they could beat Ohio State, either of those teams. And then Auburn-Alabama. We'll talk about that one real quick. That'll be the last game we touch on. Let me jump down to it.
Yeah, we got some time.
That is 3.5 points. I'm actually surprised it's that little. I would bet Alabama to cover. I think even though they're not going to have Tua, obviously, I still think Mac Jones is a good quarterback. I think they'll be fine.
I feel like there's a few more games to talk about.
All right. Look through the schedule. Bring them up.
Clemson, South Carolina. Let's just do pick-ems real quick. Against the spread. We'll do with the spread.
Okay, what's the spread?
Okay, the spread is Clemson minus 27.
I'm taking Clemson with the points.
Ooh, all right. The war on I-4. UCF versus South Florida. UCF, 22-point favorites.
South Florida with the points.
Yeah, I think so. South Florida money line is big odds. Big odds, Maddie.
Charlie Strong might be getting himself fired pretty soon.
He's probably getting himself fired. I just want to scroll through. Maybe we'll pick like one or two more out of here. Just out of a hat real quick. All right, two guys coaching for their job. New Mexico State versus Liberty. Well, actually, they're not coaching for their job. They've already been fired, but they're both coaching the last game.
Versus Liberty?
Yeah.
Hugh Freeze got fired?
No.
I was like, damn, this is news to me.
He coaches at New Mexico, not New Mexico State. New Mexico plays Utah State. My bad. So New Mexico, Utah State.
Well, what's the spread on that one?
Minus 10.5, Utah State.
Oh, Utah State covers.
Yeah, probably.
They were one of the best offenses in the country, I believe.
The other one here is... Yeah, well, they have Jordan Love at quarterback. He's really good. I just want to give some attention to teams we don't really talk about a lot, you know, because we're pretty East Coast biased. UNLV, Nevada. UNLV is the underdog by 7.5 points.
Well, Nevada doesn't have Caleb Fossum.
Yeah, RIP. We should have him back on the podcast. Let's.
Yeah, Caleb, if you're listening, reach out to us, bud.
Yeah, he's not listening.
I would probably, if I had to bet on that game, I would probably have to go with Nevada covering 7.5.
Yeah, me too. All right, so the last game, there was one more, two more I want to talk about, actually. I know I just said that, but this is a good one that we kind of overlooked. Wisconsin, Minnesota, likely for the Big Ten West.
Yeah, I mentioned that a little bit, but I think Wisconsin wins that game.
Oh, I disagree.
The only reason I will say that, though, I think it's going to be a good game. The only reason I think that Wisconsin wins that game is because Minnesota against Penn State could not stop the run, and that's the Wisconsin only thing only Wisconsin runs. Does.
Yeah,
so.
They actually don't. They don't believe in passing the ball. So I see what you're saying there. That's a good point. The last game that I wanted to talk about real quick, just for poops and giggles. You know, we're a safe for work podcast, so I can't say what I wanted to say. We're not?
No, we're not listed as safe for work. Fuck. I don't know.
What? You're a wild man. UConn Temple. Temple is a 28-point favorite.
I hope that Temple wins by 40 and they extend Randy Edsall after the game.
Temple has covered the spread in the last 12 of its 13 November games.
I hate UConn more than I hate any program in this country.
Me too. We are not UConn fans because of some personal things. Maddie was supposed to go to UConn. Didn't go.
What?
You're supposed to go to UConn.
Oh, don't frame this on me.
Yeah. You were recruited to UConn by Randy Edsall.
No, I happened to our best friend. And he...
Oh, we're not supposed to talk about him on the podcast. He doesn't exist. Dan doesn't exist. This best friend, Matt, is telling fallacies.
So we'll call his name Jim.
No, let's just call him FCS guy.
Yeah, okay. So our friend was supposed to go to UConn.
Our friend FCS guy.
FCS guy. And then when Bob Diaco was fired, FCS guy was told by Randy Edsall that his position was safe on the team. He's going to honor the scholarship. And then... FCS guy got a call one night by Randy Edsall, and Randy Edsall pretty much just said, "Hey, buddy, sorry, you're beat 2 weeks before signing day." So that's why I have my harsh feelings against UConn. I wish nothing but the worst for that program, truthfully. And Randy Edsall.
Couldn't agree more, Matty. And you said that we should. We should just talk about how you said they called. Said that.
Oh, FCS guy. FCS guy.
They called FCS guy and said he was beat, but pretty much every team they've played since has called Randy Edsall and said, "You're beat."
Yeah. And I think when they beat UMass earlier this year, that was their first FBS win in like a long time. Yeah. And I think they got pounded by an FCS team earlier in the year, which is great.
They almost lost to Wagner. And Wagner was like plus 1600, and I was going to bet it. And I didn't.
Dude, that would have been so great. I wish they lost that game.
To be honest, so do I. But I think that pretty much wraps it up, right?
Yeah, I can't think of anything else we can really touch on. I'm just looking. I thought there was another game they all almost lost to an FCS team. But so that'll do it for
was
this
it Wagner?
Week. No, yeah. It wasn't Wagner because I was listening. I was listening to a podcast. Speaking of my FCS podcast, we're going to have an FCS guy on in the – next week, I believe.
Richie Snyder from Rivals.
Yeah, so we have a lot of guests coming on. We're going to talk about some FCS playoff next week. I think that's pretty underrated football if you want to watch some good football this week.
Wait, why don't you talk about how you get the home field advantage? Cause I didn't know this.
Okay, so I think it works like this. So the first round matchups, so there's the first 8 seeds get home field advantage, and then they get a bye in the first round. So they technically don't play until the second round. The first round games, each school bids for a home game. And the minimum bid is somewhere around $30,000. So a lot of schools, So we're close to Monmouth. Monmouth is a small stadium, and they don't really have high attendance. I think their average attendance is around 3,000. So for a school like them to bid is kind of crazy. So what's happening now, I believe, is a lot of schools just aren't bidding for home field advantage because Monmouth has a home game, and I'm sure they did not bid anything over $30,000. But and then you have Monmouth bigger
schools. Is expensive, though, so if they have, they could probably afford it.
But so schools like Montana, Montana State, North Dakota State, you know, the big FC, James Madison, those are teams that could put $100,000 down on a bid because they know they're going to sell out. Like, I was looking at tickets today because we're close to James Madison. I might take the trip down if Monmouth wins this week against Holy Cross. I might go down to James Madison to see that game. And those tickets are sold out on StubHub. You can't get them. So that just gives you some kind of idea on what kind of how much those people love their FCS football.
Yeah.
But I think that's the last thing we want to talk about. Is there anything else? We talked about some guests we have coming on. Let us know what your guys' predictions are for this week if you disagree with any of my pick'ems. Again, happy Thanksgiving to you guys and your family. We appreciate everything you guys do for us, following us since day one, interacting with our tweets. You guys are the best followers and on Twitter we got. I think that'll pretty much wrap it up.
Yeah.
All right, guys. We'll see you next week. Thanks, guys.